Laudetur Jesus Christus. Praise be Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Abbot Circle podcast, presented by the Norbertine Canons Regular of St. Michael's Abbey.
Although the parable we just heard in the gospel reading is so familiar, and even though Christ himself gave the interpretation, yet are his words so deep that they can always be revisited with great spiritual profit. But rather than examine every single word of this 23-verse passage, which would undoubtedly spell my doom among my confreres, let us this morning attend only to certain details of that authoritative interpretation. Christ says the seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word without understanding it, and the evil one swoops down and steals it away. Given the dire outcome of this sowing, how is it we can know if we are understanding the word sown in our hearts by Scripture and the church's preachers? The surface level availability of the seed for the birds to eat gives us the clue. In order for the word to enter deeply into our hearts, it must be received and covered over, received in silent welcome and protected with silent vigilance. It is not always necessary to have an instant meditation or conversation about what we hear. Simply letting what we hear get absorbed in silence is the very welcome it desires. Then later, to be sure, we must ponder the words, the message, the implications of what we've heard, ponder them again and again. And finally, we only really understand the word sown in our souls when we compare and contrast our own actions with what we've pondered in prayer, when we see our daily lives in the light of Christ's revelation. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one without roots, who falls away in the face of trials and sufferings. What are roots? Roots give a tree stability. The one who hopes in the Lord, says Jeremiah, is like a tree planted by the water. Its roots are deep and strong. The tree is immovable because its roots are its foundation. How then do we grow deep roots? Jesus himself gives us the answer in the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined. The house had no foundation. The words of Christ must be put into practice. We have to form habits that incarnate anew the Word of God in order for us to have a foundation that can withstand suffering without utter ruin. The seed sown among thorns is the one who succumbs to worldly anxiety and the lure of riches. Worldly anxiety and the allurement of wealth can be seen as two parts of a spectrum. The first is worried about meeting the minimal demands of life. The latter is more concerned with what goes beyond that. But in effect, they are united in being too attached to this life. To this angst of heart, Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, whatever God sees is necessary and profitable for your salvation, will be added unto you." If our hearts are distracted by these worries, without first and last entrusting them to God, all spiritual profits will be choked to death. Changing our interior attitude so as to be good soil can be hard work. But St. Paul says today, "I consider the sufferings of this present time as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us." On the one hand, that's very consoling. But a deeper look reveals it's both worse and better than that. For the word he uses for sufferings is in Latin passiones. This means something we undergo, often enough some painful in nature. Thus we refer to Christ's suffering and death as his passion. But the point is that we are the recipient, not the agent, of the suffering. If St. Paul had used the word labores, meaning works, then what we ourselves do in order to become good soil is as nothing compared to heavenly glory. But what we undergo, not according to our own design or by our own instigation, but according to God's plan and by his power, which reaches even deeper, this is much more painful, even as it is much more effective. For example, I choose to receive in silence the word I hear from Christ, and I reflect how it pertains to my life. Lessons are learned, but they are as limited as my own mind. But sometimes God chooses to have us isolated, unable to speak about the word we've heard, even if we wanted to. And in a flash of insight, he shows us just exactly how it applies to us. His work is so much more deep and humiliating. Again, we choose to put into practice Christ's word of forgiveness by praying for enemies. And that's hard enough. But then God makes our forgiveness the obvious linchpin for an estranged family member's peaceful death. And we have to forgive that much more explicitly and personally, letting go of decades of hurt, knowing that our own forgiveness by God depends on it. We choose to detach ourselves from the lure of riches through tithing and almsgiving. But God detaches us by a lost job, a bank closure, a stock market crash. And still we have to trust in his goodness and love. We were working before. Now we are suffering, but only so that we may be that much more conformed to the image of Christ Jesus, which is the whole point of our lives anyway. We cannot force this moment when God takes the reins, but we can prepare for it by our own efforts. Not that there is any proportion between what we do to ourselves and what God does in us, but there is a unity in trajectory, the same desired goal. If St. Paul had only said that our works are not to be compared with future glory, we might have wondered about the proportion between what we suffer when God works through us and that heavenly reward. Maybe they're not so very different in scale. But since, no, he said that our sufferings, even those deepest, most incisive acts of God within us, like surgery without anesthesia, since even these are like nothing compared to seeing the loving face of Jesus, with his Holy Spirit loving him through us, world without end, then there can be no limit of trust and confidence with which we surrender our very being into his hands.
Thank you for joining us on the Abbot Circle podcast. May God bless you.